AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Sven Sundgaard, of course, is the weather man extraordinaire for bringmethenews.com. You can also go to his YouTube channel as well. He's kind enough to join us today to talk about weather and various other things. Hey, Sven, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. I want to touch on something non-weather first, though, if we can. Congratulations. I heard you got your second dose of vaccine.
Yeah, second dose of Moderna. I'm fully vaccinated, although they tell you 2 weeks after the date you're considered fully vaccinated, I guess I should say. But there will be no more shots put in me is what I mean.
Have you had any side effects? I mean, I think it's Moderna is the one that my friends who get that second shot say that's the one that you kind of get some heavy duty. You can get some heavy duty symptoms with. Have you had any problems?
You know, I've heard the same things, but then I've heard like people say that about the Pfizer one. And then I've heard people with the Johnson & Johnson. And so far, so good. So I am about 29 and a half hours in from my second dose yesterday. And, you know, I think I just tweeted and posted on Facebook. I've been kind of live updating because a lot of people are genuinely curious. You know, I heard from a lot of people, oh, I get my second one in a couple weeks, or just even people wanting to compare their own experience that they had. And, you know, I'm a little tired now. I would say I'm more tired right now than I normally would be at 5:30. But I don't know if that's because I'm hyper aware, you know, if it were normal. Basically, whatever I'm feeling right now, if it happened on a normal day, I would just consider myself to be having a sort of a low key tired evening. And, you know, my head, I don't have a headache. But my head feels like the way I described to somebody is if you drink too much coffee, which I often do, and all of a sudden you get that kind of rush in your head that says, if you keep going, you're going to have a headache. You know, like sort of that warning, the head's getting a little heavy, but not quite there yet. So all in all, I feel pretty good. I can't complain.
I get my second dose of Pfizer on Tuesday. Over at the VA. And so I'm looking forward to that. But I will say that it's going to be interesting. I'm going to get mine in the morning. I'm hoping I don't have any symptoms, or else I could have a very interesting show that afternoon.
Yeah, you know, who knows? I just purposely made sure that today was going to be pretty quiet, nothing going on. I wasn't going to plan anything. I will say what I do think, after my first shot, really, I'm feeling like I did after my first shot. About a day or two after, I felt a little tired at times, but I just figured that makes sense because your body's building antibodies.
Yeah.
But my arm was really sore after the first shot, but I do tend to tense up. So people who haven't gotten their shots yet, or even if you have one more, I guess the best thing, and the nurses will tell you this too, keep that arm relaxed.
Yes.
Like, you know, dangle it. That makes a big difference. And they tell you to keep it moving, and which is good advice, but one way to do that, and I felt good still several hours after my shot yesterday, I went to the gym and I worked out. I didn't do an arm workout, but just doing anything, even if you're speed walking, or I went for a run after too, you're moving your arms. And I think even that helps. My arm is dramatically less sore at the site of injection than it was with the first shot.
My daughter, she worked because of her job. She basically got her first shot. She said the same thing, that her arm really hurt. I mean, I had like a master.
I hate needles. That's my thing.
Is it? I'm not a big fan of them either, but the woman that gave me my first shot, she was brilliant. I mean, she's, you know, she was really good. I didn't even feel it, if you want to know the truth. So, you know, I think it depends too.
Neither were painful. It's just, it's in my head, like needle going into arm. I've got different shows someday. I have a horror story with like blood draws. Those are the worst. So it's that kind of thing. But yeah, I barely felt mine yesterday. It was like a strong mosquito bite. You know, you feel the pressure more than anything.
I've got a friend who lives in Amsterdam who posted a picture on Easter weekend of snow. And she said, this is weird in Amsterdam to have snow in April is an understatement. You had posted on your last weather forecast. I think the one you did yesterday, the weather forecast you did yesterday, you posted that Europe has gone through a roller coaster right now.
Yeah. So that's worth note, the snow that you mentioned, but Amsterdam also, the Netherlands, had its earliest record of that kind of heat a couple weeks before that. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? So hopefully we're not headed for that here, but you know, it's kind of indicative of these bizarre swings that we've been seeing. And we've talked about it, I think, a little bit here, but there's ongoing research, you know, as we warm up the Arctic, and the Arctic is warming anywhere from 2 to 4 times faster than the global average, by creating less of a temperature difference between the Arctic and mid-latitudes in the equator, we're weakening jet streams. So they're becoming much more amplified, as in, you know, they look like they're just kind of this tangled up knot versus generally flowing west to east with minor bumps, ups and downs. So you get these big, huge ups and downs in the jet stream. And that just can, if you're on, depending on what side of it you're on, you go from one extreme to the next. And, you know, one of the scenarios where we really saw this play out here was, if you remember back to 2018, we had the coldest April on record. Mm-hmm. We had that big April blizzard. And then May was the fourth hottest on record. We statistically went from March. I mean, it literally was. April was as cold as an average March. And that May was as warm as an average June. So we went from March to June. And we joke about it around here, how we go from winter to summer. But we literally did that year. And this is a similar situation in the pattern playing out in Europe. And hopefully not here. Mm-hmm. I would like to not see, let's find a happy medium.
Well, you and I talked about this. I mean, it's that jet stream that runs up on the northern parts of the Arctic Circle up there. It just seems like it's falling apart at times. And, yep. And you know, all of a sudden we get this large thrush of cold air. And as you said, when we talked about it a few months ago, you said, yeah, when that cold air comes down, the worst effect is that the hot air rushes into that area. And it just yep. seems to be destabilizing more and more.
Absolutely. And that setup is prime for these things that, you know, we heard people been hearing more about now, these polar vortex disruptions, you know, what dislodges the coldest air from the Arctic is when we have these wonky patterns. You know, it's almost certain that the very warm summer that we had in Siberia last year and the extreme loss of sea ice there, and all that extra ocean heat that was absorbed, that, you know, it's that's all that heat, all that energy stays there. And what happens to anything that's warmed is it expands and rises. So you have all that extra energy and momentum. It's got to go somewhere. And that knocked the polar vortex off of its kilter pretty early in the winter. It happened right around New Year's. So really only about a month into meteorological winter. So even though Siberia had cooled off by that time and the sea ice had reformed, all that energy, all that momentum has to go somewhere.
When you're talking on this level, I mean, you know that there's an insane amount of energy that's released there. I mean, you don't see it because people just go out and look at their field and say, well, it looks like a normal day to me. But when you look at it on a global scale, it really is messing up.
Yeah. And that's why it's really important to look at trends and patterns. The few skeptics that are left weren't as vocal this year, I noticed, during our 2 whole weeks of cold weather in February. But I mean, we quickly turned that around with the 8th warmest March, you know, as we've talked about on record, you know, and just a ridiculously warm April so far, which is hard to complain about. I know a lot of people have been commenting on my posts and I'm there with you. You know, I love summer. So 85 degree day. Great, but when it's April 5th, that's a problem.
Yes. No, I mean, it's nice, but it's horribly wrong, and that's the deal. By the way, if you need climate change deniers, I'll get you some guys off my Twitter feed, because every time I bring it up, yeah. I get some buttes. You had a graphic.
They'd probably go back and forth between us, honestly. You know, there are about a dozen trolls out there, especially on Twitter.
you had a graphic I loved. It was in the sense being it's why we got warm. It was like a highway was built from Arizona straight up to Minnesota, and yeah, that was amazing. You don't generally see it so cleanly like that.
Yeah, we do. You're right. It was just very apparent then. But we do often get we call it high desert air, and you know I tried to very simply explain it by showing weather balloon data, which is much more complicated. I could do a whole 3-4 minute segment just on deciphering that. But basically, you could see the air that was not from here, but from somewhere else much warmer. And it was that dry, warm desert air that gets literally, we call it advection in meteorology, but it just means thrown into, essentially, moving horizontally. And what we know about that area of Western Texas, New Mexico, it's much higher than here. And so where we see it in our upper atmosphere is, you know, at least 3, 4, 5,000 feet above the ground. And then what happens is when we heat up during the day, the sun does its thing and wind does its thing. We mix in with that air a lot. And when you bring down air from aloft, it warms as air sinks, just like you have with a Chinook wind or the Santa Ana winds. The compression heats up air. And so long story short, you know, when you can basically put in 3/4 of a very warm air mass in place, all we got to do is that bottom quarter's worth of work, which the sun can do this time of year, and we get those extreme temperatures. But obviously, even that was extreme for us. It's the earliest we've ever been that warm on record, 85 degrees that early.
It felt like late May. When those storms finally started rolling in, it felt like we were in late May, and that was a weird feeling because it was nice to see the storms because we desperately needed water throughout the state.
Yeah, this is our fire season. We tend to think of California or Australia, and those are extremes where they have months of dry weather normally. For us, it's this, which has already ended, brief period, in late March into April, early May, normally, where before things have greened up, all that dead debris, the fact that the air is so dry because nothing is alive yet, you don't have evapotranspiration, and we don't quite have the regular airflow from the Gulf of Mexico, so those humidity levels are low. And we saw this Monday, 85 degrees, but the humidity was like 15%. And, so you have evaporation going on like crazy that just dries things out even more. And then the wind, of course, and if any fire gets going, it can spread like crazy. And I noticed driving to my dad's last weekend in northwestern Wisconsin, a couple different spots that you could see were not scheduled or prescribed burns.
Yeah.
You know, there have been several grass fires around lately. Luckily, like I said, it's kind of a brief season because the other unusual thing, which is, of course, related to the weather, is how green everything is already.
Yes, yes.
And all the buds and leaves out. I mean, this is 3 weeks ahead of schedule, at least.
Yeah, you had...
This is a late April situation that we're at already.
You had Syrup Lady, who was trying to cook syrup down. She started a fire. You had the guy that was trying to burn off a log. And then it was, what was it, the cigarette butt up on...
A cigarette butt, I think.
Lake Elmo, yeah.
That's the one I passed.
Wow.
You saw how close it got to several structures and the on-ramp or off-ramp from 35. And I'm just like, come on, people, a little common sense.
Well, heaven forbid. What's amazing me and what concerned me as we watch those storms come in, there are some pretty impressive lightning displays. And obviously, if the rain's not coming in, but lightning is starting to hit, that could have set off some as well. But how much rain have we gotten since it started raining here in the cities?
So far, I haven't added that all up. You're putting me on the spot. I guess I should have anticipated that. I know yesterday we had 68 hundredths of an inch.
Okay.
So far. So now, luckily, I can pull up the data pretty quick. And then another three. So we're almost closing in on an inch of rain. And we've got another probably half inch on the way tomorrow. So we'll end up with, it'll vary, but probably 1 to 2 inches, especially since the beginning of the rain this week was thunderstorm. That doesn't include Monday night's rain, which was more hit and miss. But yesterday, today, rainfall amount so far.
Do you know what tells me that how low our water totals were? I went biking yesterday, and I'm on the trail that goes over Minnehaha Creek over off of Highway 169. And if we had that much rain generally, if we weren't dry, Minnehaha Creek would be over its banks, and it wasn't. It was actually quite, it looked quite normal. And that was when I looked and said, how dry really have we been? I think, and I went and checked Nine Mile Creek as well. Nine Mile Creek has not breached its banks yet either. I mean, we were really low.
Yeah, I'd have to go look back at the fall, but it does seem, if I can jog my own memory, that we had a dry fall because we went right into that weird cold in October. And that big snow we had in October is helpful because that kind of snow at the beginning and end of the season around here does get absorbed into the ground very quickly. I'll sometimes hear people talk about, oh, all this snow in January is going to be helpful. Well, not really, because a lot of that evaporates in just the nature of our snowfall compared to warmer climates. But I mean, snow is an important component, especially some of the waterways, like you mentioned, lakes and rivers and that, but we also had below normal snowfall this year too. So,
it is concerning because it will take, and the way this weather's gone the last 10, 15 years, and I can already see this coming. And say all of a sudden May and June it gets really dry again, and we were already behind. All of a sudden, we're back into fire warnings across the state. And, you know, as you say, you got a lot of people out there, whether it's people checking a cigarette butt out or trying to make delicious syrup, you can get, you know, yeah. you can get out of control fairly quickly. And I don't want another year like it was a few years back. We had all those fires, especially up in the north, that were just burning everywhere, it seemed like.
Yeah, you know, and that's the main lesson of climate change, too, is it's the extremes. And in a place like this that is extreme, we see the extremes getting to be more extreme. Because one of the things we are seeing is an increase in extreme rainfall events. You know, those 3-4 inch rainfalls are becoming much more frequent in the summer. But of course, the nature of thunderstorms is that's hit and miss. It depends where you are. And then, you know, but because this is a place that goes through natural, drier and wetter periods too, those are becoming more extreme. So the wetter periods are really wet, but then we're more prone to occasional droughts. But overall, with our warming climate, we're seeing an increase in precipitation. But yeah, we very well could get it stuck into one of these dry patterns that are even drier than they otherwise would be.
I'll give Sven all the credit here. It's because of Sven's forecast. The Twins games got in. They're at leading 7-2, by the way, in the sixth inning.
Good.
There you go.
I haven't kept track of the score. I'm not a huge sports fanatic, but I think like a lot of people, we're really rooting for them today just because it's a sign of some normalcy in summer and everything else.
Absolutely, and it's going to get in today. They're not. You said rain tomorrow. They don't have a game tomorrow because it's because of the opening weekend. They generally skip one day, so they don't have
That's
a game
good.
Tomorrow. But that tomorrow's going to be the rain day. Is it going to clean out after that for the weekend?
It does, but it's going to, if you're looking for a lot of sunshine just yet, you're going to be waiting. But yeah, we're going to be in sort of a break. There have been one or two random showers still over the last couple of hours. I think one did go over Target Field briefly. But I mean, considering that sandwiched in between all this rain, they got pretty lucky. And temperatures, of course, are pretty mild. And then most of tonight will be mainly dry again. One or two of these random showers. The next round of the real persistent rainfall is going to come in late tonight, early tomorrow morning. Anywhere between 3 to 6 a.m. And it does look like it's going to rain much of tomorrow, finally wrapping up in the evening. So if you do want to get outside at some point, maybe after 5, 6 o'clock tomorrow, you should have an opportunity. At least it won't be spectacular, but at least hopefully the rain will have stopped by then. And then Saturday looks just cloudy. I don't think we'll see sun yet. Sunday we should see some sun. And then that'll push us back up close to 60, probably just 50s the next couple of days. And then we're in for some cooler weather next week, too. Looks like the middle of next week might actually be, brace yourselves, below normal.
Oh my.
For a couple of days. That's something that's been very rare. Yeah. Some of the models have not gotten us out of the 40s Tuesday and Wednesday of next week, which, considering the role we've been on, that will be a shock to the system. But the good thing for me is if we're going to have this early green up, I would hate to see us get into one of these, which can happen in April, of course, hard freezes that just kills everything and has to start over. It doesn't look like that. We'll probably have a couple of frosty mornings, but not those super cold overnights and mornings, luckily, next week. And then we're back into the 60s plus the week after. A normal sort of April correction here.
Okay, cool. I'll get the weather forecast posted from you. And if you're not following Sven on his YouTube page, I'll make sure I get that posted up as well. Sven Sundgaard, bringmethenews.com. You can find his weather forecast there, too. Sven, thank you very much. I appreciate it, as always.
Yes, you're welcome. Have a good weekend.
You too. Take care. Sven Sundgaard, kind enough to join us. Spotlight that interview. We'll take a break. Come on back. One more story before we wrap up before Native Roots Radio. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.